You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Well, starting a new series this morning on heaven. And I have never done a series on heaven before. So we usually tell you where to turn in the Bible. We have two passages that I want you to go to. Genesis 1:1. And if you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one somewhere around you. That's our gift to you. Grab that. It's on page one of that Bible. But then also, I want you to go to Colossians 3:1. So put your thumb or something, a 3x5 card or something, in Colossians 3:1. That's going to be basically our text for the whole series. All right. And while you're getting there, Johnny prayed for Pastor Tom. And I've been asked by some of you, how's he doing? He had to have that other surgery that we didn't want for blockage and all that stuff. But apparently, it seems to be working. I talked to him on the phone 2 days ago, and he sounded a lot stronger than he has in months. So they believe they've got all the cancer, but plumbing wasn't working right. So now they've tweaked the plumbing, and hopefully that'll work. And then they'll let him out this week. Out of the hospital, amen? So, So be praying for Pastor Tom. And if you'd like to, some of you were asking, hey, you know, we ought to send cards. How can I send cards? We have made it easy for you. On the way out the lobby to the right-hand side, there's a round table, and there's a box, and there's a whole bunch of cards. So we're providing the cards. You just need to fill it out, okay? So fill out the thing, the cards for Tom, and then we will make sure they're delivered. And other people have said, you know, can we send them any gift cards or any money or whatever? And you can do that in your card if you'd like to, all right? I know Nancy has been, God bless her, going from Tom up in Maryland in the hospital to her daddy's now. Well, he was in the hospital. Now he's on hospice care. And so, yeah, so she's going back to Richmond or in that area and then back up to Tom. So gas money, those type things. And yes, we're going to help take care of them as well. But if you'd like to do something individually, feel free, all right? Or a card and tell them you're praying for him, and please make sure you do that, all right? So Genesis 1:1. Are you there? Say I'm there. All right. In the beginning, God created the what? Say it louder. Heavens. Oh, come on, you ain't got as much spunk as the early crowd. In the beginning, we're trying it again. God created the and the earth. All right, so who created the heavens? God did. All right, now Colossians. Now I want you to still go in your Bible to this because this is our key verse, but I want to do some stuff up here that some of you are note takers. You can replicate if you'd like. So Paul is talking to Christians. All right, if then you've been raised with Christ. All right, so he's talking about that. What is that, John? Real quickly, when we think of, oh, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and he went to the grave, and then he rose victorious, and then he purchased my salvation, and I said, yeah, I want that, and I, you know, trusted him, and I got that. It's a lot more complicated on God's end than that, all right? God saw us as, well, Jesus on the cross, he said that he took our sins on himself. He became, Romans said, sin for us. He became every dirty, horrible, nasty thing that I am, ever was, and you are. He became that. Didn't just take it, became it. Don't understand how that works in the mind of God. That was necessary for him to die for it. My sins, your sins. And then, so I went with him on the cross, through the grave, and then if I've trusted him, I have been raised with Christ. Hallelujah. So if you've been raised with Christ, if you're a believer, seek. It's in the imperative, which means it's a command from God. The things that are where? Where? Above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, another imperative. That's why I've got it in this orangey color, another command. Set your minds on the things that are where? Above, and not on the things that are on earth. Heaven. When I was little, many of you as well, you were taught to pray a prayer as you were going to sleep. It started out like this. Now I lay me. I pray the Lord my, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Which, you know, set my wee mind to wondering a lot of questions. It's like, I'm young, why do they already have me praying about dying? And then, all right, let's talk about heaven. Where is heaven? I look out the window, I don't see heaven. I see the heavens, I don't see heaven. And then, okay, if it's up there, how long does it take to make the trip? And will I know my friends, or will we all be strangers? And will I have a body, or will I float around like Casper the Friendly Ghost? And most important, will we eat in heaven? Will we have my favorite breakfast cereal of all time, Captain Crunch? So, God doesn't want us ignorant of heaven. In the Message paraphrase in 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians were an interesting group. Paul had gone to Thessalonica. He had won people to Jesus, won enough people to Jesus, they planted a church. And so he was only there a short time. He's teaching, and for some reason, he was teaching about prophecy, Jesus' second coming. Man, they're just eating it up, eating it up. And so then he leaves, but then they're like, okay, you know, and Jesus could return at any time. Anytime Jesus could come back. Hallelujah. You believe that? Yeah, so he could come right now. That'd be cool in the middle of the service. But they were expecting it in their lifetimes. And then Paul, he says, ah, see ya, you know, see you in the air, yay. He goes off, and all of a sudden, one of their members gets sick and dies. And they're like, what? Oh, no, what's happened to Uncle Billy? And then another one dies, and another one dies. And they're like, oh, Paul, we thought Jesus was going to come and take us all out, and now we got people dying. Oh, what's going on? So they write Paul. He writes them back. Regarding the question, friends, that's come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you to be what? In the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing forward to look to, as if the grave had the last word. So, John, somebody says, don't worry about me. You know, you get this heaven series, and that's cool. I'm going to, you know, I'm sure I'll enjoy it because I already know a lot about heaven. Oh, cool. How do you know a lot about heaven? Well, I've been watching some of these people on the internet. That somebody's, you know, somebody's podcasts about these people that died. And then they came back. And then they, you know, tell us what they saw. And they wrote books and stuff like that. Careful. Say careful. Careful. There's a lot of teaching out there about heaven that is more Harry Pottery than it is heavenly. And I hope to God, now don't raise your hands if you've been watching this gal, because I will just judge you. I'd never heard of her until I started, you know, doing some research on heaven and stuff like that. Came across this pink-haired lady online, never heard of her before, Kat Kerr, Testimony of Heaven. According to her testimony, she's been gone. Paul, he went there one time. She's been there thousands of times. Thousands. And she tells what I watched as much as I could of her preaching at some church. It was like an hour and 20 minutes. You think I talk long. According to what she's alleged claims that she's seen in heaven, so she saw God the Father, amen? God the Father, this is those of you that don't know, is a huge white man. Sorry, people of color. With a neat mustache on whose lap she sits while eating heavenly ice cream. I suppose heavenly hash, right? Jesus. She's hung around with Jesus. Jesus, now y'all didn't know this because, you know, you ain't been there, but Jesus is a tattooed biker with his own brand new Harley. Yeah. Holy Spirit. He's a cool blue dude. No lie, blue. He's very handsome and jacked like Pastor John. who told Kat to dye her hair pink and call him Cupid. And then, you know, if you've read Revelation, there's some, I mean, whoa, stuff in Revelation, and there's a rainbow around the throne. There is. The Bible says a rainbow around the throne. What you didn't know is that rainbow is made of Jell-O, and the angels slide up and down on it, eating it as they go. And then, my favorite, because I love me some chocolate milk, there's a chocolate milk waterfall bigger than Niagara Falls. You just go in there and you're like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It sounds like some PBS Saturday morning animated kids show to me. All right, but that's, you know, John, you don't have to worry. I ain't going to listen to what some weirdo pink-haired huckster woman's telling me about heaven. But, okay, praise God. A few of you, I guarantee you, a crowd this size, some of you are like, I have her study Bible. Don't do it. Well, that's not nice of you to talk about. Let this be. All right, Paul uses names multiple times in the New Testament. He says, stay away from this person. Stay away from that person. Stay away from this heretic. That's a bunch of mess, people. All right? Say all right. All right. Most of us here, though, we wouldn't, you know, we're like, oh, just stupid jello rainbows. All right. But we have been significantly misled about heaven, but typically in the other direction. What do you mean in the other direction? Instead of jello rainbows, all right, you don't believe in jello rainbows, but some of you honestly think that you're going to be assigned to your own personal cloud. You're going to have a cloud, they're going to hand you a harp, and you're going to spend eternity trying to learn Eric Clapton's Tears in Heaven. Will you know my name when I saw you in heaven? And you're dreading it. Others of you, you enjoy, I hope you do, our weekly worship service around an hour or so. And you enjoy it because you come back, right? Praise the Lord. But you're actually, you know, 1 hour is enough. You're actually kind of dreading heaven because you really think it's going to be an eternal, never-ending worship service, which to you, admit it, is kind of boring. And it's not totally your fault that you're misled. Well, whose fault is it, Pastor John, then? Pastor Johnny. Us pastors, you know, all of us, basically. Pastor Johnny actually preached a message last year on heaven. But we're called to preach the whole counsel of God, amen? The whole counsel of God. And this was sobering to me as I went into this. I'm like, all right, let's look. Because I always look. All right, the things that God, you know, says a lot are typically more important than the things he doesn't say a lot, right? If he doesn't mention something at all, then you usually don't have to worry about it, yeah? So, you know, he's got a Bible big enough to cover all the stuff. So I looked in there, and you look at things like marriage. Is marriage important? Yes. There's two of you. Is marriage important? Yes. All right. Yes. Important enough for me to preach on? Yes. Oh, yeah, and I do. I preach series on it. I've done series. We've had conferences, marriage conferences. It's mentioned in the ESV 29 times, that word marriage. All right, cool. Family. Important enough to preach on 58 times. Church, we had a whole series on the book of Acts for what it was, 38 weeks or something like that. We talked about the church, the first church being on fire, 109 times. Salvation, 173 times. Faith, 450 times. Look at this. Heaven, 734. And most of you have never heard a whole sermon dedicated to heaven. What you've heard is, and this is, again, our fault, you know, sermon on whatever. Oh, hey, make sure you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior so you can go to heaven. Amen. Let's pray. That's what most of you've heard. God obviously has a lot to say about heaven. But, hey, let's share the blame, shall we? I'm all into blame shifting and blame sharing. John, who else should we, you know, that we are not trained well enough? Whose problem is it? I blame my professors. The college I went to, I had, three different colleges, and I had, you know, classes in hamartiology, study of sin, ecclesiology, the study of the church. I had pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. I had studies of Greek and all Hebrew and all of these classes, whole lots of classes, but I never had one class on heaven. I had a class on the end times, but, you know, the professor kind of ran over and, you know, so he's like, oh, this is the beast and the Antichrist and the, you know, rapture, and that's cool. We're all right. And then, oh, hey, it's like the last day and we're running out of time. So anyway, we all go to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a good summer. But then, so I thought, well, let me look in some of mine. These are just a few of my, got them all over my desk. Just a few of my theology books. All right. This is Christian Theology by Millard Erickson. I know that most of you have this on your shelves. 1,312 pages on every aspect of Christian theology. It's got 9 pages on heaven. Portable seminary for people who can't go to school, you know, or just want to have a kind of a seminary education and, you know, aren't able to, for whatever reason, go to school. So I thought, well, portable seminary, that should have it, 752 pages, 2.5 pages on heaven. So then I got this down. I figured, hey, they didn't teach me any of this in seminary, so I have a book, What They Didn't Teach You in Seminary. And I looked for heaven, 0 pages on heaven. That's why a theologically educated pastor, true story, once confessed to another pastor, because we would never confess this to y'all, about heaven when they were talking about heaven. Whenever I think about heaven, these are his words, it makes me depressed. I'd rather just cease to exist when I die. I can't stand the thought of that endless tedium to float around in the clouds with nothing to do but strum a harp. It's all so terribly boring. Heaven doesn't sound much better than hell. I'd rather be annihilated than spend eternity in a place like that. That is a pastor. And that's many of us, too, honestly, if we were honest. John Eldridge writes this, nearly every Christian I've spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We all have this settled, we've settled on an image of a never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever and ever, amen. And our hearts sink. Why? Forever and ever, that's it? That's the good news? And then we sigh and feel guilty that we're not more spiritual. We lose heart and we turn once more to the present to find what life that we can. That's many of us, because we've really not been taught the amazing truths in those 740-some verses on this place God calls heaven. And so this series, we're going to try to fix that, amen? Say, fix that.
Fix that.
Because we've been, here's the title of the message, misled about heaven. Misled about heaven. And you might go, well, John, you're still not convinced. Well, John, you know, heaven's a long way away for me in the future, and I imagine, you know, when I get there, it's cool with me. You know, obviously, your name is not Elon Musk. You're like, what do you mean? I don't know where Elon is concerning heaven, but I do know where Elon is concerning another place that he wants to get that is otherworldly, which is called Mars. Elon, he's serious. He is serious. And if you know anything about it, I listened to a podcast about how Elon works, and I thought, this dude is crazy, man. I mean, he gets focused, and he just gets focused on something. And Elon wants a whole bunch of people to from Earth to populate Mars because he thinks that Earth ain't going to make it. And so he's totally focused on Mars, what it's really like. You know, what it's really like. He's not like, hey, when I get there, I get there. And no, I got to know what it's like. Everything, I won't know everything, but I need to know as much as I can about Mars. And then how to get there. And then what it's going to be to live there, what it's going to be like to live there. Elon, who I don't think claims to be a Christian, knows something that many of us don't know. I need to learn all I can about that place that I'm going to spend my forever in. And there's some reasons. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? Just real quickly, a biblical understanding of God's very real heaven, what God has revealed, all right, not rainbows that you eat. It provides hope. We need hope. Some of you are hopeless. I said this a week ago or so. Suicide is basically the absence of all hope. When you're hopeless, that's when you commit suicide or are tempted to. This provides hope. Well, I have a disease. I have a disease. The disease may kill me, but I have the hope that I ain't going to have the disease in heaven. I don't have friends, I don't have joy, but I have the hope that if I never get them down here, I'm going to have them for eternity. It gives me an eternal perspective so I can endure this life. That's why some of you are having such a rough time the struggles that you're going through is that you don't know much about heaven. You don't have that eternal perspective, and you're just living on this little time frame. And then it stimulates my faith sharing. I mean, I'm like, hey, man, I get excited about this. I'm going to share. I want other people to come with me. Cast out my fear of the unknown. And it's the very place that God commands us to set our hearts on. But if you're someone here, you're kind of a, you know, Bible scholar or a junior or whatever, and you're like, wait, 1 Corinthians 2, John, 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah, I know where you're going. 1 Corinthians 2 says, as it's written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So the Bible says that we'll never really be able to understand what God is saying. No, you're missing it. You're taking that out of context. You need to add that next verse. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, nor has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But, God has done what? Revealed them to who? Us Christians, through his Spirit. Through his revealed word, through the Bible. God has revealed what he wants to reveal. Yeah, you can't psych it up and go, oh, I think there's a chocolate fountain. No. But you can get in the word of God and see what God has already revealed. Which means that God explains in his word as much as he wants us to know what heaven is. Not in totality, but at least the big picture, which is a lot more than most of us know. Well, okay, how about Paul being caught up to heaven, John? Then, you know, like this lady says, she was caught up thousands of times. Paul was caught up, and then God told him not to tell anybody what he saw. Yes, that's true. With that time, that is very true. So we shouldn't speculate on what heaven is based off of what Paul said. I saw stuff I can't discuss. But there's another dude that was caught up to heaven, and he wrote a whole book about it in the Bible. His name is John the Revelator. The book of Revelation, by the way, let me help you. It's Revelation, not Revelations. Say Revelation. Revelation. Not Revelations. All right. Now you know more than 90% of Christians. All right. Revelation, the revelation. Holistic, one revelation. Of the Apostle John. And there were some things God told him, don't write this, don't share this. But then he told him, write this, 22 chapters of mostly a lot of heaven. And Ezekiel and Isaiah saw things that they were specifically told to write. So God does want us, Randy Alcorn writes this, if he, God, didn't intend for us to understand it, why would he bother telling us about it? When was the last time you wrote someone a letter using words you didn't expect them to comprehend? And so if God took the time to put it in the Bible, he wants you to read it, understand it, meditate on it, be changed by it. And God's taken the time to do, and by and large, we have ignored that. Why? Because we've been misled. Yes, by well-intentioned pastors and teachers but here in our defense, we look at the problems that our people are going through and we forget the eternal perspective could help so very much, and we want to deal with it. So we'll do that. Somebody's going through a divorce, multiple people going through a divorce. What do? We go and preach a marriage series. We pray about it. We want to help fix you. We want to help you in your short life. Your kids are going to the devil, and so we preach a parenting series. These different things like this. And so, in our defense, addressing these world's issues, and that's a big part of our calling from Scripture. But addressing your problems in your life is really an infinitesimally small time when laid against all eternity. And so let me just demonstrate it. This is your life. All right? How old you gonna be when you die? Come on, tell me. Prophesy. Huh? 100? Who said 100? 100. 100. All right, man. Woo. There's a woman of faith right there. All right. So, let me pick on Hank because I see Hank. So, Hank, you're going to live to 100. This is Hank's life. 0, 100. All right. This is the totality of Hank's life here on earth. So, Hank was born a baby. Now, he wasn't very attractive. Little baby with a beard was kind of spooky. And then Hank starts growing up. He gets in teenage years and does a bunch of stupid stuff. And then he meets Stephanie. He's like, oh, look at Stephanie. And she's like, hey, big guy. And they kissy, kissy, and they get married. And now they got, babies and stuff like that happens. And then, now they got kids. They're growing up. And then all of a sudden, Hank starts getting older, and he's lost a lot of his hair already. And so then he gets older. He gets arthritis. He gets the gout. And all of a sudden, one day, Hank dies. 100 years old. Stephanie says, is that insurance policy still in effect? So he's dead. Now he goes to what? Heaven, to eternity. And so eternity, he's that little 100 years old Hank. And now he's stepping off in eternity, about one step. Let's just say each step is a million years. All right? So here's Hank. He's looking around. Oh, my goodness, I'm in eternity. And then he realizes he's got a new body so he can go faster. And he goes, oh, May, oh, Anita, I didn't know you were here. Praise Jesus. Mike, I'm surprised you made it. Hallelujah, brother. He's going along. Whoa, give me five for eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, this is so good. I'm seeing people. Oh, I'm seeing some Methodists. I didn't think any Methodists were going to make it either. Oh, man. Oh, look over here. It's an ex-Catholic. Hallelujah. Oh, God is good. Here's David. David, are there cigars in heaven? We're going to find out. He's coming along, and he's just still going. Each step, remember, is a million years, million years, million years. All right, and he's not tired like I am because he's got a new body. He's coming along, spending his time. Oh, there's a man in a chartreuse shirt. They let that in heaven. Ryan Buck. I thought he'd still be in purgatory. He's going along and going along. And, man, he's been, how many steps did I take? Come on, how many steps did I take? Nobody counted. What's the matter with y'all? All right. I would say like 100. So that's 100 million years. And then they look around and they still call him the new guy. Because eternity never ends. We can't fathom it. And what we pay attention to, almost all of our attention, is that little postcard we call life. It's important. It's important. But it's not the whole thing. It's just, when I do a funeral, I'll say something like this. We are living, and we've been living in the mudroom of eternity. And we think this is so awesome. In the mudroom, and God just opened for whoever died the door into the mansion, and they are having a good time. We're still out here in the mudroom. Misled about heaven. Who are you talking about exactly, John? Believers, many, many of us, most of us maybe. So two points while I get my breath. 2-point message. Number one, believers are misled about what goes on there. We're misled about what goes on there. Folks, heaven is the, and hope in this series you'll understand and you'll see this and you'll believe it. Heaven is the opposite of boring. Whatever boring is, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Martin Luther, not King, but Martin Luther, the old dude, 1300s Martin Luther, believed that and said, you know, if I'm not allowed to laugh in heaven, I don't want to go there. Because he knew heaven's going to be awesome. And all these Catholics were telling him, oh, no, no, oh, yeah, clouds, harps. And he's like, dudes. Now flip back to Colossians 3:1. Let's look at that again real quick. If you've been raised with Christ, seek. Remember, it's a command, right? Imperative, that's a command. That means if you're a Christian, you are commanded to seek. If you're not seeking the things that are above, you are disobeying and you're sinning. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Get informed, he's saying, about heaven, and focus on heaven. Now look at this, that word seek, get geeky and Greeky here. Seek the things is the Greek word zeteo, which means demand information. Do everything you can to discover. He used that word over and over in the New Testament in the Gospels when it says a woman had a lost coin and she was seeking it. I need to find it. Jesus used the same word. I came to seek and save that which is lost. It's a very aggressive, not passive, type of seeking. It's God's command. Be a spiritual Elon. That's why we're in this series. Because most of us up to this point have not obeyed that command and didn't even know it was a command. But now you do. Now you're responsible for it. Most of us, this is C.S. Lewis. Most of us find it very difficult to want heaven at all, except insofar as heaven means meeting again our friends who have died. One reason, look at this, for this difficulty is that we've not been trained. Our whole education tends to fix our minds on this world. And that is true. We've been misled. Yes, by well-intentioned professionals, but also by our ill-intentioned enemy. Now get this. Satan will do everything he can to keep you from having a clear understanding of what God wants you to understand about eternity in heaven. You're like, why? What's the harm to him? Here's why. Because it will change your life and he knows it. It'll change your Christian walk and he knows it. It'll give you hope like you've never had before and he knows it. You become a threat to him when you start understanding what eternity is all about. C.S. Lewis again. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. But then he says this, it's since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this. And this quote I love, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, you'll get neither. And many of us have been aiming at earth, even preachers and teachers. But how does me knowing what the Bible says about heaven impact my life, John? And again, it'll give you the hope that many of you don't have. It'll give you the hope. It'll provide you the eternal context to face anything that you're going through, anything that could come at you. It'll turn you into someone who's passionate about other people you love going there with you. And it'll cast out all your fears. I love Pastor Dan's quote. Talked to him about, you know, he had an episode or whatever, a medical episode. Man, Dan, man, don't die on me. He goes, you ain't going to scare me with heaven. Yeah, many of you are scared of heaven. You are scared of heaven. They say, even though my theology books are kind of light in heaven, back in the old days, back, you know, a few centuries ago, they were all about, especially in the catacombs, they found pictures and paintings, you know, wall pictures where you're hiding from the Roman soldiers, and it's almost all about heaven because they were being persecuted. They knew, when we get caught, we're dying. What were they thinking about? They were thinking about our home, our real home. The devil's a liar. Tell me, the devil's a liar. And some, get this. Some of Satan's favorite lies are all about heaven. What do you mean? Revelation 13 talks about the satanic beast opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander three things: his name, his dwelling place, and those who live in heaven. This demonic beast at the end, that's just basically Satan indwelt, is blaspheming, slandering three things. Satan slanders God's person, God's people, and God's place, heaven. Well, why does he slander heaven, John? I don't get that. Because he used to live there, and he loved it, and he got evicted from it, kicked out from it because of his pride. And now other people, you and me, are slated to be there and not him. He was forcibly evicted from heaven. I don't know how many of you ever been evicted. Don't raise your hands. But that's a humbling thing. It's a thing that hits your pride, right? I've never been evicted. Been close a couple times. But, you know, you're just like, oh my goodness, and you're kicked out. And now new people have moved into the place, the house, especially if you really loved it. Now you hate the landlord, don't you? Or the bank, and you hate the new people in there. That's what Satan, that's what he's all about. He sees that you're going to get ready to take up his crib, and he is not happy. So he became bitter. It toward God, but also toward heaven itself, that place that was no longer his. And what better way for the devil and his demons to attack us than to whisper lies, because he's a liar, about the very place which God commands us to set our hearts and minds on. Because Satan doesn't need to convince you. If you're a Christian, he's lost you as far as you're never going to come to hell with him. He's lost you in that. He doesn't try to, most Christians, convince them there's not a heaven. Because most Christians, you know, they get it. They got it. They got that sound. All right, there's a heaven. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what, but there's a heaven. He just needs to convince you that heaven's a place that, of boring, drab, not at all like this earth that we really like existence. And he's been very successful in a lot of folks here. Eternal organ recitals, robes that, you know, just robes, assigned clouds. No beer. And when we believe that, when we believe his lies, and many of you do, we're robbed of our anticipation. And so then we set our minds not on eternity, but on this life, totally on this life. That's why some of you in the political, you are just so into politics because it's all about this life. And you're acting like this is your heaven. I'm not saying politics are not important. I'm saying they're not very important.
PastorDan at pointharbor.com. We don't understand our current pain in God's eternal context. If we believe Satan's lies and we're not motivated to share our faith. I love how Randy Alcorn writes it. Why should we share the good news that people can spend eternity in a boring, ghostly place that even we're not looking forward to? And that's why some of you don't share your faith. That's one big reason, is that you're not really anticipating it either. It's just the best option of the two options. Hell, heaven, yeah. Let me give you a teaser, all right? We don't have time to go into it, but I'm going to give you a teaser about some of the things we're going to look at about heaven in the series. You want to hear a teaser? Say, teaser. Give me a teaser. All right. Now, stuff you're going to miss out in heaven, because you hear,
oh, I'll tell you what, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell because all my buddies are going to hell, and then we're going to have eternal keggers.
Yep. You're stupid. There is no beer in hell.
How do you know that, John?
Because there's not even water in hell. In order to have beer, you got to have water. Guess what there's plenty of in heaven? Water.
What does that mean? I don't know. We're going to go there and we're going to find out.
But there's some things you're going to have to give up. Like what? No politics. No politics in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, does that mean no politicians? Mostly, but not totally. No bad breakups. No,
it's not you, it's me.
Yeah. No crazy family Thanksgivings. No arthritis or cancer or lupus or depression or halitosis or hemorrhoids. No bills or bill collectors. No emergency rooms, no goodbyes, no disappointments, no deaths or cemeteries, no expiration dates on your T-bone steaks, no locks or bars or security cameras, no COVID or masks or vaccines, no drunk drivers, no homelessness, no more sin or the effects of sin. Amen? That's just a few. All right, now, a few more you should be anticipating that we're going to look at. Earth will still play a vital part in eternity, and we'll get to enjoy Earth. We'll be given responsibilities, jobs, and opportunities we love. Not some boring, like, oh, I gotta sit in this cloud. We'll be rulers at some level, depending on how you live your Christian life. All right, here's where the rewards come in. You'll be rulers at some level, princes and princesses of the King of Kings. There will be music. There will be music, lots of it, yes. It'll be awesome, and Pastor Tom and Pastor Dan will finally learn to clap in time. There will be creativity and arts. I believe that there will be dancing. Just ladies, there ain't gonna be no twerking. All right, you're gonna see Pastor John dance in heaven. I know, I got some moves, I can bust some moves. That's about it. Lots of laughter, lots of joy.
Well, is there gonna be any football? What am I gonna do with Sunday afternoons?
There might very well be football, right? There might very well be football. I'll tell you what, if there is football, we'll investigate. There's gonna be a whole lot better football than the Washington Commanders could ever play. Just saying, just a word of knowledge right there. Continued exploration and discovery. It's going to be stinking awesome. That thing that you've been kind of not looking forward to. So be over here over the next few weeks, and as we discover what our new digs are going to be like, at least as far as God allows us. And I may do a little speculation, but if I speculate, I'll tell you I'm speculating, all right? But we're going to look in the Word of God, what he says clearly. So first, misled about heaven, many believers are misled about what goes on there. But worse, many unbelievers are misled about how to get there. Number two, unbelievers are misled about how to get there. Because remember, Satan's a liar, amen? And he doesn't want you enjoying this amazing thing that God's trying to reveal to you, this amazing home, because he's been evicted from it. And why? Because misery loves company. Those of you that think you bought into the thing that Satan's just, you know, he's there in hell. Tell him, turn up the heat, ha, 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 torturing people in hell. No, 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 no. Satan wants nothing to do with hell. He's not in hell. He will be in hell one day. He is called the prince and power of the air. He sometimes, at least in the Old Testament, appeared before God. God goes, in the book of Job, Satan, what you been doing? Satan appeared on a day when the angels had to pop tall. Yes, Lord, here's what I'm doing, good and bad. And Satan says, I've been going around the earth tearing up things. And God says, what did God say? Have you considered my servant Job? Man, the Lord never mentioned me to Satan, just like. But that's what God did. So Satan, he fears the lake of fire, but he knows he's going there. So he wants, misery loves company. He doesn't want you kicking back in his old crib that was so amazing. He wants you burning right next to him. So he lies to you. And he tells you, John, does he stay away from religion? No, Satan's all about religion. He is all about religion. He tells you to be good. Satan tells me, yeah, no, no, some people he goes for the evil side, but a lot of people, some of you, he's told you, no, you need to be good. In order to get to heaven, you need to be good. And he's deceived you because religion and Christianity are spelled two different ways. You're like, I know. But no. Religion is spelled what? Do. What do I got to do? What religious thing do I have to do? Get baptized, go to church, give money, say the Eucharist, catechism, what else? VBS, sing in the choir, give a little money, not cuss too much, quit smoking. Do that, and I go, woo-hoo, to heaven. And that's what Satan tries to tell you, but God says, no, you do that, you go to hell. Christianity is spelled differently. What's it spelled? Done. On the cross of Christ, it is what?
Finished.
It's finished. What he's done for me, what he's done for you. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. That's what Titus is laying out. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he did what? Say it. Say it louder. Saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness. He's trying to make a huge point that some of you still haven't gotten because you're listening to the lies of Satan. But according to his own mercy, what is mercy? That's on the cross of Christ when he became sin for John Houston. He became sin for Hank Ramsey. He became sin for all of us. Then he died on that cross and he went to that grave for 3 days and three nights. And then he rose victorious by the power of the Holy Spirit out of the grave, victorious over my sin and your sin. Because it is finished. God's wrath, the Father's wrath, had been satisfied by a payment of blood, the blood of Jesus. You can't pay anything. You can't even get a discount. Some of you were trying. You were trying to work your way to heaven. Lord, you know, I try to come here. I try to be nice. I vote. And God goes, no. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, totally according to Jesus in his own mercy. Because some of you are doing what would offend you if your kids did it to you at Christmas. When you worked and saved, and maybe you didn't have the money, but you worked and saved, and you bought that toy that you knew they wanted, and little Billy's like, oh, this is so awesome. Oh, thank you so much. This is so awesome. And then he runs to his piggy bank, and he goes, here, Mama, take all my money. I want to help you pay for it. Do you go, yeah, give me that piggy bank? Hopefully not. What do you say? Come on. No, I got this. This is a gift. It's not a gift if you pay one penny for it. If you pay one ounce of service for it, it's not a gift. It's only a gift if you get it free. That's salvation. Some of you still haven't got it because you're still trying to pay. You're trying to give God a little discount, action step. Quit believing Satan's whispered about heaven. Repent. Believe God's revealed word about how to get to heaven. Believe. We're going to, some pastors and me are going to Dominican Republic in about a month or 2 months. And we're going to do this pastor seminar, and all of our pastors that are pastoring these churches, these El Sembrador churches, the 25 by 35, 7 or 8 pastors are going to be there. We're going to be training them, and I'm looking forward to it. But I'm not looking forward to the flight. You know, Pastor John doesn't like, and I'm not scared of planes. I just don't like being not in control. I don't like TSA. It's because some of them take off your shoes, and then you take off your shoes. Oh, don't worry about taking off your shoes. You're a senior citizen. Yeah, shut up. Take off your belt. Don't take off your belt. Come over here. Stand over here. Let me wand you. I don't like that. And then I don't like going on the airplane where you got this little seat, right? Because we don't fly first class. Pray for us. And then you're sitting there, and then they go, hey, you need to put your seat back up. I'm like, it moved that much. Nobody's going to die because of this. So I don't like that. But I do it. But what if I was going to go, hey, I want to go to the Dominican Republic, and I totally believe in American Airlines. I believe in, you know, the propulsion thrust, the dynamic of air over wings. I believe all that. I get that. I believe in the pilot is able to, and he's certified to be able to fly. I believe all that stuff. I believe in American Airlines. But I don't get on the plane. I'm not really believing on. Might be believing in. Not on. That's what some of you are doing to Jesus. You believe all those things. He died on the cross. He went to the grave. He rose victorious over the grave. And oh yeah, Jesus, I believe you paid for my salvation. But you have never come on board. Never asked him for salvation. You just look at it and go, that's cool. I believe in that. He says, how about receiving? The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the children of God. Those who've received him. And he lays it out so well in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. It's in the imperative. It means don't be doing the anxiety thing he talked about in the book of Philippians. It's a sin. But he told the disciples, they're concerned because Jesus is talking about, hey, I'm going to be going, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, and then I'm going to go to heaven. They're like, what? They're anxious. He says, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Receive me, my Father's house. Then he starts talking about heaven. Has many rooms. If it weren't so, what I've told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back, take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then he says this. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas, we beat him up and called him the doubter, but Thomas was the questioner, if you want to know. He was the questioner, Thomas, because all the other disciples are thinking it, they're just too scared to ask. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's an awesome, awesome question. And Jesus said what? I am, one of the great I am statements of the Bible, I am the way and the what? Truth and the life. How many people get to heaven without Jesus? No one. No one. No matter how nice you are, no matter how many, you know, boxes you've checked in your religious boxes. No one comes to the Father except exclusively through me, my death, my burial, my resurrection. That's how you get to heaven. Jesus, not religion, not your good works. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And some of you here, you're like me for 19 years when I believed that. I'm like the dude at the gate watching the plane taxi out, never having got on, but totally believing that could take me to my destination, but never getting on board. You need to get on board, like I did October 21st, 1979, in my Navy barracks room. And I prayed and said, Lord, I don't think I've ever prayed this before. I've been religious, been to VBS, church, sang in the choir. Don't know that I've ever trusted you as my Lord and Savior. And I'm trusting you today. Why not join me in that and get on board? Even if you've been in this church for years and years and years, and you realize, today you realize, I'm still at the gate. I've never come on board. I need to. Pray with me. Lord, we pray that you would just work, do your work in hearts and minds as we get ready to study this thing of heaven. Lord, it would be best for people to know they're going there, to have that assurance, to really be going there, not be fooling themselves. And so I pray for those folks here that, you know, are on their way to heaven but aren't real thrilled about it. I pray that you would grab our hearts, but also I pray for those who thought they were on their way to heaven but really aren't. May they board. May they get on board. May they trust you as their Lord and Savior today, right now. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, don't look around. But just, you say, well, John, how do I, you talk about getting on board or whatever. Just, you receive, just like you receive a Christmas gift. You just, by faith, reach out and take it. And you tell him, I want that. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. If you call honestly believing, he will save you. And some of you have never called. You've just intellectually assented for years. So why don't you call right now? I'll give you the words. They're not magic. Don't pray them if you don't mean them. But just say something like this, if you mean it. Dear Lord Jesus, tell him that. From the quietness of your heart to the quietness of his. I know I'm a sinner. Own it. Own it. I know I'm a sinner. But I know you're God. Tell him that. I know you died on the cross. I believe that. I believe you went to the grave, Lord. I believe you rose victorious over the grave. Tell him that. I believe that you purchased my way to heaven through your shed blood. Tell him that. I'm not trying to do anything religious to get to heaven, to add to it. I'm not, Lord. I'm only trusting you today, right now. Trusting you alone. Please save my soul. Forgive my sins. Bring me on board your body, yourself, your heaven. Onboard me by this short, simple prayer. I mean what I'm praying, Jesus. And then if you prayed that prayer, here's what you ought to tell him. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Help me to live for you. Lord, thank you for these folks that prayed that. And I pray you would work mightily in their hearts. And in this series, God, work mightily in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, all God's kids said,